Okay, so I'm just announcing now our next speaker, Alejandro.
Penuela.
He's going to talk about local foliations of surfaces characterizing the center of mass, which is a very important topic in quasi-local studies. And please.
Okay, this is a joint work with Jan Metzger. So the notion of center of mass is a fundamental one in Newtonian mechanics. Therefore, it is quite desirable to have an equivalent notion in general relativity. This has been a long-standing problem in physics with many different attempts and approaches. So I'm going to talk first a bit about this problem and the setting of the problem. So we're going to consider a three-dimensional initial data set that is a three-dimensional Riemannian manifold and a symmetric two-tensor. This Riemannian manifold is going to represent a space-like hypersurface in a space-time. And the symmetric two-tensor is the second fundamental form of this hypersurface. And we're going to consider this to be asymptotically flat. That means that there is a compact set such that if you go far away from this compact set, then you recover flat space. In particular, the metric goes to Euclidean metric, and your tensor K goes to zero. Well, this compact set, usually, we don't have this compact set. Usually, in these coordinates, we have a manifold with a hole. So this compact set is not there. And this compact set represents the region in which all our matter is concentrated. So we have an isolated system, or matter is there. And this shows then the first conceptual problem of defining a center of mass. And it's because if all of our matter is concentrated in this region, then obviously the center of mass is going to be a point in this compact set. But this is not in the manifold. So how do you define a point and study a point that is not even in your manifold? Well, as I say, there are many different approaches. And I'm going to talk about the approach of Huskin and Yao. What Huskin and Yao show is that in this context, and in the time symmetric case, so that means when K is equal to zero, so a totally geodesic hypersurface, if the ADM mass of the system is positive, then there exists a unique foliation of constant mean curvature spheres, CMC surfaces. And in particular, these spheres have an Euclidean coordinates, they have a center, which is this equation of here. Well, they define the center of mass to be the limit of these centers when the surfaces go to infinity. So this limit of here, and this is in Euclidean coordinates. So graphically, what we have then is we have our asymptotically flat manifold. We have that outside of the compact set, the manifold is foliated by these CMC surfaces. And for an observer at infinity, he will recognize the center of mass to be the point where the center of these surfaces tend to converge. In particular, if we have some parity conditions in the metric, this center converges. And not only that, it actually defines a center of mass. So it satisfies the expected properties of a center of mass. So this is good, actually. So this is like a solution to the problem. However, this is a purely Riemannian construction. So the K doesn't play any role here. That's why I set the K equal to zero. So maybe it doesn't work that well. And actually, and unfortunately, there are counterexamples where the K is different to zero. And then we have that the center of mass doesn't converge. And actually, these counterexamples are in well-studied manifolds like the Schwarzschild manifold, in which we really know where the center of mass is. So it is a really good construction, but it only works in this particular case. So how can you solve this problem? Well, a natural way to try it will be to generalize these foliations, right? Because this is a nice approach. This gives you this subset problem of the compact set. And that's actually exactly what Metzger did in 2004. He found a foliation of constant expansion surfaces. So in this context, he found two unique foliations of spheres of constant expansion. These are surfaces satisfying this equation of here. And well, this foliation is a generalization of the CMC foliation, because if you set the K equal to zero, then the P is going to be equal to zero. And of course, then we only have H equal to a constant, so constant mean curvature foliation. So it is a generalization. However, and unfortunately, the center of the surfaces don't converge. So it is indeed a tricky problem. But however, in 2018, Sadaban and Sakovic proposed a new definition of center of mass. This is the so-called STCMC center of mass. They found a unique foliation of two spheres of a space-time constant in curvature, STCMC for short, and that is a foliation of a sphere satisfying this equation of here, which is equivalent to require that the product of the expansions is constant. Well, adding some parity conditions to the metric and in the tensor K, we have that the center of these spheres converge, and in particular, it fulfills all the expected properties of a center of mass. So in principle, we have a solution here to the problem. So we can say that these STCMC surfaces characterize the center of mass of an isolated system. Okay, now that we have a bit.
These surfaces exist for large R, is it?
Exactly, yes. This is a foliation at infinity.
And so converge means when
R
radius is going to be
infinity. No, the center of the surfaces, if you have something called the Rege Teitelbaum conditions.
But the center is defined using the foliation.
Converges
on the radius of the system to
infinity. Yes, exactly, yes. So the center is well defined and it satisfies the properties. It's a good definition then. Now that we have done a bit the setting, I'm gonna give you a bit the motivation for our problem. And it comes from another problem in physics, which is the search for a quasi-local mass. So there are also many different definitions for quasi-local masses or quasi-local energies, but any of these definitions need to satisfy certain conditions. In particular, they need to have the right asymptotics, and they have to satisfy the small sphere limit. So this is telling us that when evaluating the quasi-local mass on spheres approaching the point along a null cone, then the leading term of the quasi-local mass should recover the energy density of the Einstein constraint equations. So here in the picture that we have a point, we approach the point with the light cone on these spheres, where just cuts on the light cone, and then we're getting close to the point. We need to have this expansion of here. If we evaluate the quasi-local mass of these spheres, then the term of third order should give you something proportional to the constraint, to the energy density of these constraint equations. So in particular, we recover something that is physically relevant. So with this in mind, we ask ourselves the following question then, and is there also an analogous condition for the center of mass? So what happens if you have a point and you approach the point with the surfaces characterizing the center of mass? And what condition should a point fulfill to possess or not to possess a foliation of surfaces that characterize the center of mass? Well, we're gonna answer this now, but first let me show you what we're gonna do. What we're gonna do is consider the arbitrary dimensional case. So we consider n plus one dimensional initial data set. And when getting really close to a point, we consider a geodesic neighborhood of this point, and we construct these spheres and see what happened. We're gonna study the STCMC surfaces, but we're gonna also study the constant expansion surfaces. The reason to study the constant expansion surfaces is because by studying them locally, we can understand better why they fail to converge. And because, as I'm gonna show you, they're mathematically quite interesting. Okay, for constant expansion, some results. We define the local.
I understand. So the previous results were taking large spheres.
Now we're going close to a point.
And one was looking for what happens as the R goes to infinity.
Yes.
And we want to do the same for small spheres.
Exactly. Yes. Then we have, we define this local constant expansion one form. This is this one form E. Notice that this one form only depends on K. Now we have the first result that tells us that if around a point P, there is a concentration, and notice that I'm saying concentration and not foliation, so this is even more general, of constant expansion surfaces, then this one form and the tensor K must vanish at the point. And this is something also quite interesting because one of the main differences between the construction of the constant expansion surfaces and the STCMC surfaces is that the constant expansion requires a higher decay rate on K. So
yes. You are looking at the equation theta plus theta minus is equal to constant.
Yes, theta plus theta minus, yeah. Or plus minus the two variants.
So this blows up as one over R squared.
the origin, right? At the origin, what do you mean?
Like, well, you're going to start from zero.
So. Yes, like over R, yes. 1 over R.
And not 1 over R squared?
This is in the STCMC case, R squared, yes. Yes, sorry. Yes, as I say, then the difference between the constant expansion at the STCMC is that in the STCMC, the decay rate on K is not so high. So here we see that actually we're mimicking this global case because this condition on K, we're not gonna have in the STCMC case. So, okay. Then the other result that we have is that if at a point P, this one form vanishes, the tensor K vanishes, at the gradient of this one form is an invertible operator, then if this inequality holds for certain constant n, only depending on the dimension, then there exists a unique smooth foliation of constant expansion surfaces around the point. Something also interesting about this result here is that this is a foliation of constant expansion, but it is not a generalization of the CMC foliation. The reason why is because if we set the K to be equal to zero, then this one form is gonna be equal to zero everywhere. And its gradient is just gonna be the zero operator, so not invertible.
So what does it mean?
Yes, if you take the gradient, this is, you could say that's a two tensor, so this has to be an invertible operator.
Algebraically,
at the point, yes. So, as I say, this is not a generalization of the CMC case, because then the operator is not gonna be invertible, it's just gonna be zero. However, this is why I say that these four surfaces are mathematically interesting. There is another way to build a foliation of constant expansion, having way more requirements. So I call it the complicated constant expansion foliation, which is this one over here. And in this case, we need an extra one form and an extra two tensor. This is a bit messy, but this is the requirements that we need to build the foliation. We need the two forms to vanish, the two one forms to vanish. We need the K to vanish, the gradient of A to vanish, the Hessian of A to vanish, and this operator to be invertible. So this is a mess. And then we need this inequality to hold for certain constant. And then we have a unique foliation of a smooth constant expansion surfaces. And something here also interesting is that in the previous foliation, we needed the gradient of E to be invertible, but here we need the gradient of A to be equal to zero. That means that actually the two constructions are independent and are excluded from each other. So we found two ways of constructing this foliation for two independent ways. So yeah, this is a bit how this one form and this tensor look like. So this is a really complicated construction, but let's move to the physically relevant one, which is the STCMC case. Then we define then the local STCMC one form. This is this one form of here. It's also a bit complicated. And then we have the following results. If around the point P, there is a concentration of STCMC surfaces, then this one form must vanish at the point. And again, this is concentration, so even more general than foliation. And the other result that we have is that if at a point P, this one form vanishes, its gradient is an invertible operator, and this inequality is fulfilled for certain constant depending on the dimension, then there exists a unique smooth foliation of STCMC surfaces around the point. In particular, note that if the K is sufficiently small, then we will have the foliation. So with this result, we can conclude then that actually this one form A fully characterizes the surfaces locally. However, we haven't found any physically relevant quantity related to this one form. We have played around with this a lot. We have tried to see if it is related to the energy density, to the momentum density of the constraint equations, to the Bell-Robinson tensor, but we haven't found anything related to this quantity. So this is everything I wanted to tell you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. So should one understand that these things are then very non-generic? So generically, you will not have things like that locally.
What do you mean by generic?
Well, that's my question too. What do you mean? Well, you have a condition, which is an algebraic condition on the geometry. So not
yes,
every geometry
exactly.
will fulfill this.
No, in the case of the STCMC case, a compact manifold will fulfill that, because this is a function that needs to vanish at the point, for example. So,
so there will be a point where this is, where this happens. That's what you're saying.
If the manifold is compact, you could find a point. Maybe the invertible condition is a bit more complicated.
Let's say, but if you take a random point in a random manifold, then this will not be satisfied.
No, no. This is a special point.
And this depends upon the foliation. So maybe, can you deform the foliation? I mean, this, you know, you had a condition on K.
You could
it
deform
sounds, the... By the way, let me say that this sounds weird, right? Because your condition was theta plus theta minus. You think that this is a space-time condition rather than something depends upon a foliation.
This is
while
the,
your
this
formula
is
depends
this
upon
is the
foliation.
This the product of expansion. So you see here. The product of expansion needs to be constant.
Right, but this has a space-time flavor, right? It's not, you think that this is not associated to a initial data surface, but rather to a space-time property.
In principle,
near a point.
No, but they live in right. in a time slice. Right. But in principle, not, yeah.
Other questions or comments?
I just want to comment, but I don't know how to raise my hand.
Okay, but go ahead.
Okay, so first of all, this condition theta plus theta minus is not enough to characterize, let's say, asymptotic spheres. You need an extra condition which is related to the torsion of this. So how do you... So if you think in 2 plus 2 decomposition of space-time rather than just... If you add this condition, then you can say something about how many spheres are in the asymptotic region. So we have published several papers about it, and we relax this condition that this theta plus theta minus is just a constant. You may relax this condition in such a way that you can move spheres, you can translate them, and then you... Translating spheres and in the asymptotic region, you feel the center of mass as a charge of the gravity. You know, just center of mass times the mass. So this
right. Thanks. So we appreciate that there are many possibilities of defining preferred spheres, and you're suggesting another one. Yeah.
Yeah, but those spheres has a privileged.
I'm sure that various have various advantages, right? Okay. Any other? Thank you, Jacek.
Okay. So I was. Yeah.
Other questions from the audience, or yes, please. No. Even here, we can't hear.
I can go there. Come on. You talk to this one.
Yes.
Okay. So thank you, Leandro. I wanted to ask you, so you said that at the end that the tensor A, I mean, you didn't find any physical meaning on that, but I wanted to ask you about the tensor E that you presented before. And I wanted, so it's clear that it has to depend on K, but how heuristically you find it, and maybe which is the physical meaning of that. And also maybe I didn't understood, so if K is zero?
Well, you can move them with your...
No.
Yeah, you can.
And if K,
can you show the slide? It's on the main screen. Yes, so you can move them now.
And if K is zero, I mean, Nabla E, I guess, is not invertible, right? And so maybe I didn't get the point. So if I start from K equals zero, what's the problem there? Okay.
Okay. To find this construction, we use what is called a Lyapunov-Smith reduction. So we need to use a two-time procedure applying the implicit function theorem. What we consider is a foliation of geodesic spheres around the point. And by this procedure, we deform the foliation. But actually, deforming the spheres is not enough. You also need to move the center of the foliation. So that's why it's a two-time procedure. And by doing this, you will find that the only way to apply the procedure is by having this this one form equal to zero. And with this procedure, we also can see what happened. That if this, you can also see that if you have a foliation of these spheres and the E is not equal to zero, then you get problems. So it is impossible to have a foliation of these spheres without the E equal to zero, just by this implicit function procedure.
Okay, thank you very much. We have to go to the next speaker.